11 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch.
Begins now.
All right. Goody talked at the podium. We're going to have lots more to get to tomorrow since we aren't going to get to all of it today. Thanks to Josh DiMaggio and Alex Stroh and all of our great producers who teamed up to get the audio set for us. This was one of the things he said at the podium inside Lucas Oil Stadium for everyone to hear, or inside the Indiana Convention Center, as it were.
Not the RCA Dome?
They not the RCA that, huh? Dome. Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised you didn't call it the Hoosier Dome.
Meow, meow. Hoosier Dome.
Projecting. Here is what he had to say about the defensive line and the expectation of getting pressure without having to blitz as much as they did.
We need to affect the quarterback with four. You know, and how we do that will kind of remains to be seen. But, you know, we had good moments last year, but it just needs to be more consistent. It needs to be able to control the game when we need to control the game and finish games off. And, again, I'm excited about the guys we have in the room. We'll see if we add to it. But that's got to get better if we're going to accomplish our goals that we want to accomplish in this season.
We'll see if we add to it.
That means he's adding.
Does it?
Yes.
Also, in his session with just the Wisconsin media that attended, I see photos of, in this photo, I see Tim Van Voren, I see Bill Huber from Sports Illustrated, Mike Spofford from Packers.com. Goody also said that Mark Murphy has told him he can trade the first-round pick, even though the draft is in Green Bay.
I was told that Mark won't allow that, is what I was told. Isn't that what people were saying? That was always
well.
Ludicrous.
No one that actually knew that.
That's always though. Ludicrous. Mark Murphy's interested in winning. He's yes, I think in an ideal world, but if you can get Myles Garrett for this year's first round pick, you're doing it three times today and then a bunch the rest of the week.
Goody also obviously only has seven picks right now. They are expected to get one compensatory pick, a pretty late one, I believe.
Okay.
Because they did sign two very large free agents.
That were home runs.
And that grand slams, in my opinion, that factors into the equation. But he's only got seven picks. He replaced the pick he gave up for Malik Willis by trading Preston Smith, who subsequently was inactive in the playoffs and was released by the Steelers. So it would appear that maybe the NFL is retiring him. But he's got a seventh-round pick again. He said he wants more picks. And the idea of trading the first-round pick for an edge rusher, his response was, it depends who that edge rusher would be. Does any of this lead you to believe, based on what he said about getting pressure with four, we've got to get pressure with four, that's what he said there, and the idea of making a deal to get a Max Crosby, a Trey Hendrickson, or a Myles Garrett, does this make you more or less confident that that could occur?
Less. I don't think there's going to be... Myles Garrett will be expensive, financially and compensatory-wise. Not going to happen, in my opinion. Trey Hendrickson will not be. He'll be expensive, but it won't be as expensive as Myles Garrett. I don't think Goody's going to want to give up... You know, if you're Cincinnati, you've got to get at least a second for him. Goody just said he wants more picks. I believe that. I think he is going to be free agent. And again, we played this game yesterday to not much fanfare and definitely not a lot of buy-in from my two cohorts on this panel. Free agency is going to be, and I think Rob Domofsky is as dialed in as anybody. Ozi, what are we calling the dude that we don't know how to pronounce his name?
Odigizua.
There's going to be your guy. I think a younger player, Dallas has no cap space, that's where you take that flyer. Because what I heard there was Goody saying all the right things about Lucas Van Ness developing and growing and Rashawn Gary getting healthy. And blah, blah, blah. You want to get better with your front four. You ain't going to run it back. You didn't get the consistency. You just heard him say it. You didn't get the consistency you needed. So if you don't get the consistency you need from that group, you don't just say, "Now let's just run it back." That would make no sense. So I don't think you're going to see the big boy money, high draft picks given away to attain that. I think you take a flyer like you did with a Za'Darius, like a Preston, and you pay, you give a nice contract, but you do it in your structured way that Russ does, where you're not doing it for 5 years. You bring in a young, talented guy that's going to be hungry and that's going to want to eat, and you're going to give him opportunities to go to the buffet. And that will add to that room. That will help spur on some of this other stuff. But you're not going to just sit here and say, I never once heard him say we were good enough. Like, this group was good enough last year.
No, he did not say that.
And when you don't hear that, change comes. That doesn't mean these guys won't get opportunities to improve, but he is not going to just run this back and hope. And I don't think it's going to fit. For as much as I'd love to see Myles Garrett and take that big swing, I think the math and the compensatory part of it, if it was one or the other, I think you could live with it. The fact that it's everything and it goes against everything Goody wants, which is more picks, I don't envision that. I think you're going to see OC or someone in that 24 to 27 year range that's is not a star yet. You don't want to get in the business of picking up washed up actors. Like, I don't want to see Bob De Niro anymore. I want to
see about Ben Stiller.
I want to see my guy. Who's my guy? The Batman dude, Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
I want to see guys in their prime.
Is Christian Bale still in his prime?
I think you're one of the last people who should be talking about actors in their prime.
Why?
Because you just discovered Sabrina Carpenter like an hour ago.
Yeah. The bottom line is these guys aren't stars until they get their opportunity. That's where Goody wants to focus. It'll be cheaper, and that's why I think a guy from the Cowboys, OZ, or if there's someone else, I'd have to look. I have not done.
Oso Adigizua.
Yeah, it'd be a tough
OZ.
Name. It's a tough name. A Raven. Someone that fits that big, long, strong.
Any Raven.
What?
Just give me a Raven. I don't care which one. Just give me one.
Well, Milt. Milt's an old Raven. They like the Raven model. They do. They love.
He's also an old Pecatonica Argyle
when
guy.
It
he's not going out and get Peck Argyle
this
time.
When it becomes this part, you look for what do you know? Who do you know? And how do you justify how that fits? It's going to be a – I think you're going to see a – not maybe not day one, but early in the free agent period, you're going to see someone that you don't really know that Packer fans will get excited about once they hear more about who this player is. That's what that's the model that I think fits better than picking up a Hendrickson or a Myles Garrett or, you know, in that vein. That's how you get better in this league.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. Yep. All right, he did talk.
Yep. Is that annoying you now that I do that?
I'm just imagining on the bottom of ESPN, it says Packers sign a Raven to a 2-year deal.
Edgar Allan Poe.
Great.
So, and I know we played this yesterday, the game. But I just think receiver makes more sense for us to go out and go big boy because there's going to be guys available. And I don't know. I know you said Reed from the Jets. I just feel like the cornerback position is where the draft is going to lean. Young. I don't know the Darius Slays, those veteran rentals that you're looking at that you might be thinking. Those three spots have been, that's kind of where I think Green Bay obviously is going to be targeting and looking. But I think the D-line is the prime position where it's going to be the sneak attack. It's going to be a younger, but not super young, not the old guy. It's that sweet spot, elevator, 25, second contract, hasn't played a lot, but is ready to explode right. And show what they have.
Right, which is what Goody has done.
That's
right?
His model.
I mean, Xavier
model.
McKinney is that guy.
Oh, no. I would say no. Xavier McKinney was a high-profile guy. That was just a complete bungle by old boy.
But he was 24 years old. Yep. He was a second-round pick. He wasn't a first-round pick, so he'd gotten to the end of his rookie contract. Za'Darius Smith had 8.5 sacks his last year with the Ravens, so he was an ascending player. They paid premium money to him, but he was not a guy that had gotten a big contract previously. I did want to touch on this before we move on, and that's why I said, yep, you're right. He did say about Lucas Van Ness, and I quote, "I expect him to take a big jump this year." Do you believe Lucas Van Ness is A, capable, and B, will make a big jump, or do you think maybe they just missed on him?
Don't know why they didn't play him more at the end of the year then. What would make you think that there's going to be a monster jump? I'm not writing him off by any stretch.
No, I'm not saying you should.
But I just look at where did the reps go when the money was on the table last year? Brenton Cox played more than LVN did.
Correct.
I'm not sure if Enik Bahre did. Lucas Van Ness will get a ton of opportunities to show that he's that guy. I've said from the jump, he is going to be, you know, you're going to get physical, tough play from him. He was strong like a bull when he came here. He's probably gotten a lot stronger. I don't know if he's picked up on the nuances yet of counter moves and figuring out how to beat guys consistently to cause that pressure in the backfield. You knew he was going to be strong. He was going to have that bull rush as his foundation to what he does, which is a great thing to have. But has he shown the speed and explosiveness to get tackles jumpy, get guards jumpy? I have not seen that. That doesn't mean it's not there, but it is time for him to show that. And if Goody has confidence in him, they won't make a ton of moves. And again, words are words. Action, about that action, if he goes heavy into free agency and the draft, I would think that he's probably looking at this as that's not the road he's going. If they stand pat, he's then putting his words with the actions of saying, I believe that number 90 is going to be a dominant player in this league. Nothing so far would indicate that that is the case.
Your defensive lineman snap counts in 2024 were as follows. Kenny Clark, 686. Rashawn Gary, 639. Kingsley Enagbare, 511. Carl Brooks, 442. Lucas Van Ness, 428.
If you had to wager right now, who is going to be a Green Bay Packer longer?
Kingsley Enagbare.
Carl Brooks or LVN?
Ooh. I'm torn because I have been taught by you that first-round picks constantly have to prove that they don't belong in the league. And sixth- and seventh-round picks, Carl Brooks, I believe, was a sixth-round pick out of Bowling Green, constantly have to prove they do belong. But I'm going to take Carl Brooks in that one because I think Carl Brooks will play out his 4 years. And if LVN does not make a big jump, as Goody just said he will, or he's expected to, they're not picking up the fifth-year option on him.
Correct.
And they're both members of the same draft class. So if you're only going to re-sign one then after 4 years, Carl Brooks isn't going to cost you a fortune either, theoretically. All right. Tausch, this would be the part of the program where I say it's time for trivia.
Oh, I thought, aren't we doing triple trivia tomorrow?
No.
Why?
We're quitting that.
Why?
I said so.
You said so?
We got all this Goody audio we want to break down, and you want to go when we could do what we all love, and we could just do double travel trivia tomorrow.
Jesse has questions that he stole from Trivia Night for the Andy North event.
They'll be good on Thursday.
They aren't going anywhere. You're right.
So, I mean, it either is or it isn't. Like, we have all this audio that we want to get to, or it's not, and that's fine.
I love the fact that you care about the audio now, but you didn't care about the audio earlier.
What would you like to do next, Tausch?
Let's do some more audio of what Goody had to say.
All right, we'll save trivia for later.
Trivia.
Yeah, it sounds like a great idea. Sweet tea.
You like going up sweet tea, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can bet there's going to be a question about Delavan Darian tomorrow.
Well, it won't be spelled correctly. That's been taught.
Ouch.
I think the geese stunk last night, and that's why Jesse's all sleepy and tired.
The geese didn't even fly last
night. Did Tier 1 get his butt up, or did he call it?
Tier 1 was out with illness last night.
DNP.
Very disappointing for Team Pepsi.
And I know people get sick, and I understand that, but Tier 1 has just dropped in my tierdom. with that performance last night.
Oh, boy.
Whew. I don't know what his illness was, so I might be being a jerk.
I think you're being a jerk.
He said he did say he was up all night Sunday night into Monday.
Yeah.
He also was part of the planning and everything else that was related to this event.
Yeah. Event.
So I would.
So I'm guessing he was legit sick.
Don't
make me feel bad, but isn't he? Fair. He's in the beverage business. Couldn't he find like some stuff to rehydrate to get through the 4 or 5
yeah,
hours?
Yeah, bubbler. All right, we're not playing trivia.
Be bubble guts.
We are going to get some more audio.
Good one.
You are one of one. Want to remind you, speaking of one of one, David Gruber, he is definitely one of one. And Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. That's all you need to make to get the best in the business on your side as you fight for what you deserve if you've been injured in an accident. So make the call, 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666, or go to the website, gruber-law.com. More from Goody next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Brian Gutekunst spoke at length both with Wisconsin reporters and then at the podium at the NFL Scouting Combine. And he also talked about, and I don't know if he called it, what did you call it a couple weeks ago? Explosicity?
I can't remember what I just talked about 3 minutes ago. You want me to go back 2 weeks ago about a word I may or may not have said? It seems like a losing proposition. No offense.
None taken.
Explosivity is one of the words, but and I was still dumbfounded at my own lack of. I watch every game, I watch every play, and I did not feel like this was an explosive team. Mm-hmm. But the numbers dictate that I'm being an idiot, and I didn't like that.
Well, maybe Goody agrees with you. Here is Goody talking about the Packers' explosivity or lack thereof.
Yeah, I think, again, you know, and things change so much, but I think the one thing, we were very explosive at times last year. We had a very explosive football team, and that's important to us. We want to stay that way. But I thought there were times when we needed to control the football game. We weren't able to control the football game, whether that was through the passing game, the run game. We just weren't able to control the football game. Again, very explosive, and I think we were a threat every time we were out there. But I think we got to get to a point in situational football where we can control football games, and that'll be important moving forward.
Tausch, I see you nodding. Do you agree with that assessment?
What he's saying there is we weren't consistent. That's what he's saying.
And they weren't.
And a lot of that comes back to penalties, especially early in the season, and then drops. And, you know, however you want to look at not executing the big plays in the big games when you needed to. Fourth downs against Minnesota up there. If you convert those, who knows? It's a whole different animal of a game. Detroit early in that game. There's certain games need certain ways you need to play to win. And I think you like the way Green Bay has different ways to go, but the thing that's the most disconcerting to me is the lack of functionability on a consistent basis at the end of the season offensively. And the fact that Matt LaFleur, after the Bears game, said he doesn't feel good about where
sloppy.
They're at. Sloppiness and all that. That's troublesome. And I think that's what Goody's saying. What Goody is saying is there are a lot of really good things to like, but we consistently did not execute them at a level high enough to be where we want to be. And I don't know if that tells you need a veteran. I don't know exactly what that tells him, how he is. But what I'm hearing there is we need guys that I know what I'm going to get. I know that this is the standard that they're going to play at consistently. And last year, and I really think the wide receiver position is where you're probably looking at it the most, they didn't get enough consistency. And in fairness, I am always going to look at the O-line in a unique way. I felt like they were a pretty good unit, but listening to what Matt LaFleur had to say and when Rob Domofsky joined us a couple weeks ago, I think we have to look at that maybe a little deeper, because it feels like on the outside everybody thinks it's a good group. That's, I know how I felt.
Yeah, good. Is it good enough?
But when you start saying you have to consistently make football plays, is that what he kept saying? There was one phrase he kept using in that quote. That comes back to controlling the game. Controlling the game. Who controls the game outside of the quarterback? Probably the most of anybody.
All right, the other thing that I want to get to, and then we'll get to...
That was a question. Who controls the game more than the quarterback?
I thought it was a rhetorical question, and when I hear rhetorical questions, I don't answer them.
This wasn't rhetorical. Because
that's what they're supposed to be.
Fair.
You don't answer a lot of the regular questions either.
That's true. No, and he hedges, and then he'll come back and, well, I got a question for you. Offensive line is who controls, Jason. When you say control the game, offensive and defensive lines are what control games. They dictate how you play. And I think at the end of the season, we did not dictate anything. We were dictated to. And I'm sure that's part of the mindset of what Goody was saying there.
Okay, Goody also was asked about Josh Jacobs' comments on Radio Row.
I'm guessing he's not going to care. Or at least that's what he says publicly.
Here's what Goody said about that.
Yeah, really what our players say in the media doesn't really affect the way we're going to go about things. I have a lot of private conversations with our players, and that's very important to me. How they feel towards our locker room and our team is important to me, but what happened, it doesn't really move the needle for me.
I thought the other interesting part of that is that it's really important to me in the private conversations what they say. I don't know if that's been what other players have said has occurred with him. Should he care about what Josh Jacobs had to say? Because I think there's an argument to be made that Josh Jacobs made a fair point.
Well, the question I have is what Josh Jacobs is saying publicly the same thing he tells Goody privately?
That would have been a great follow-up there.
Well, that's why... Well, I'm not going.
That's why you should have gone to the scouting conference.
I couldn't agree more. I still don't know. You get that shrimp, and you'd have had a heck of a time down there. It's beautiful weather, walking city. It's great. There obviously is the GM is not going to worry about everything that's said, but there's a reason that they have PR folks sending them the stuff, because messaging is important.
Yeah.
Coaches care what their players are saying. General managers care because narratives are formed off of that. Now, they're not making decisions solely based on that, but you best believe if Jordan Love doesn't trust that he has a guy that can be where they need to be consistently on third down and that will catch the football, and he illustrates that to Brian Gutekunst, and I'm not saying that happened, but I'm not saying it didn't. You don't think that might sway Brian Gutekunst to say maybe we need to rectify that? Of course it does.
Sure. I don't know if it affects how he's going to go about it, though. He also got some questions about drafting a first-round wide receiver. Again, I don't know what he sees as his solution. I will say this confidently. I don't think they're in the T. Higgins conversations.
Who thought that they were?
No, I mean, I think there are folks that are hoping that they will be. But, again, I don't see that as... As we go back to what we were saying about the edge rushers, surrendering picks and then paying a guy a very large number does not seem something that Brian Gutekunst wants to do.
You just heard Goody say he wants more picks. I 100% believe him.
I do too.
So you don't get more picks by trading picks.
You don't. You get less picks that way.
And I don't know if T. Higgins will end up getting franchised. I don't know that. My guess is that they do, and then they trade him to New England or someone with an inordinate amount of cap space.
Agreed.
And get like a third or fourth round pick, kind of what we did with Corey Williams way, way back in the day. But Goody's going to pick up a veteran wideout. And that veteran wideout should be Devontae. I don't know if Devontae, again, there's so many reports. How many times do you get to right a wrong? How many times from both sides? They have an opportunity to fill the circle. How fun would that be?
I think that's a Sabrina Carpenter song. We'll get to Woe Nelly.
I wouldn't know because we haven't heard any, and I still haven't heard Black Balloon, but that's another story.
Again, sweet tea. Jesse, how's your day going?
I have done nothing to provoke this. He did bring Dunkers in today from Quick Trip.
Yeah.
So a nice blueberry Dunker.
Blueberry.
So I appreciated that from old
yeah,
tea.
Yeah, the banana it's didn't go over great.
Seemed like though. It was going to be a sweet tea kind of day.
Yeah, blueberry. I actually prefer the cherry.
Cherries are great.
I love a good cherry Dunker.
Blueberries are good.
Blueberry.
Haven't had the banana yet. Looking forward to trying those.
I thought
those.
About just bringing in a bunch because I know everybody's eating healthier. I thought about those $1.99 parfaits. And we're not even doing a Quick Trip read today. But I thought about doing that. But then I get in my hands and I'm like, I got books to carry in, so I couldn't do it.
I'm sorry. What was the reasoning?
It's a handful of stuff with a Dunker. It's just a box. Boop. Put it on my little binder. Boop. Bam.
You carry books around with you?
I'm an avid reader, Jesse.
I've heard that about you.
Passing some time until that 8 o'clock tip tonight.
Jeff Passan.
Good one.
Woe Nelly is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
I say, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back from around the way. It seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. But I know one thing, that I love you.
To Woe Nelly, I always like to check the YouTube comments, and I thought Green Bay G in the Madison YouTube stream, LVN was not a starter at Iowa, so he did not take that second year jump because he's a year behind, so year 2 to 3 will be his big jump.
Okay, I'm on board with that plan. It sounds very optimistic.
It is optimistic. My question for you and my question for him was, if you are in today's NFL, can you really afford to have a guy basically be a non-factor for 2 straight years? And is a guy worth picking, unless he becomes Myles Garrett, is it worth drafting him with a first-round pick at number 13 if he doesn't do a whole heck of a lot the first 2 years?
Yeah, if he balls out, absolutely. Everybody develops, and especially now with young players like Kenny Clark kept getting better and better.
Yeah, but he did a lot more in year 2.
In an ideal world, these guys are rock stars from the jump. That's just not how this works typically. So I think the thought process of G&G, dude, in the YouTube is interesting. I don't buy that because he was still there for a couple of years. He had opportunities. Even though he wasn't a starter, he got a lot of work. I think the question is, will he learn the game? Is he have enough stuff off of his foundation of strength? Does he have enough to be an elite pass rusher in this league? Right now, the answer is no. That doesn't mean you don't develop and get better. Plenty of guys. I would bet if I look back at Trey Hendrickson when he was in Nolens, I would bet early on he was, because he is all craft. Old boy's got that power as well. It's ideal. It's a hopeful thing, but I think if you're banking on the Packers pass rush being markedly better because LVN is going to be a dog, I don't know if that's a strategy you want to bank on. I think you hope, but if you're banking on that, it might be struggle city moving forward.
Trey Hendrickson was a third-round pick, number 103 overall, so 90 picks later than the Packers took LVN. His first 3 years in New Orleans, 2 sacks, then he only played 5 games his second year because of injury, had 0 sacks, and his third year, 2019, he had 4.5 sacks.
So, also interesting. So, he took some time to develop and to get better.
Right, not
better.
The 13th overall pick, though, 103rd overall pick.
Okay. Yeah.
That doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter. No.
Okay, I would disagree with you.
Why
but
would
after
you disagree?
That, If he can do what Trey Hendrickson did in year four and year five, which was 13.5 sacks for New Orleans in 2020 and 14 sacks in 2021 for Cincinnati, then yeah, great. But I don't think there's been a lot of evidence to this point that a year three jump is coming. And if that happens, Goody will be thrilled. And if it doesn't, he ain't no Trey Hendrickson.
Or Troy.
Let's play Wonelly.
Or Lloyd. Any of the Hendricksons.
Who is Lloyd Hendrickson?
He's in Dumb and Dumber.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Siraka's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Wonelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
Stephen Jones of the Dallas Cowboys says the Cowboys...
Hendrickson?
No Hendrickson in this name. Says the Cowboys plan to be selectively aggressive this offseason. What does that mean?
It means that they're up against it and they're kind of screwed. I saw Orlovsky, who I don't know if he's staying with ESPN. I don't know what his plans are going to be. But I saw his statement on the Cowboys screwed up. Green Bay throttled them in the playoffs. They should have at that moment said, yep, it's time. Get rid of Mike. Don't bring Dak back. Reset this operation. We're not good enough.
I agree with that.
They didn't, and now they doubled down on... Occasionally, you'll double on an 8. When I play blackjack, occasionally, if they let you.
What about in cribbage?
You don't double down in cribbage. You can...
You lumberjack.
You can crib... that's a whole nother thing. You don't double down on 13s. You don't double down on 14s. You kind of maneuver and hope. The Cowboys doubled down on a 13 or a 14, and they got a face card. And now they're sitting there saying,
busted.
What are we doing? We got a quarterback that's coming off of a hammy. He's been banged up. He can't run anymore. He's getting old. We got a wide out that, we don't know what we want to do with a podcast and rush edge. And what are they going to build off of? They got a new coach that they really got buffaloed by Mike McCarthy, and then they just brought in a cheaper version of that. So if you're a Cowboys fan, I don't know what you could be excited about. So this whole thing means absolutely nothing. They have been passed by now by two teams, and I think it will be a race to the bottom with them and the Giants moving forward.
To see who gets a franchise quarterback a year from now, or the Giants will take one this year.
Potentially.
Yeah. Wonelly.
Wonelly!
What's the deal with this Matthew Stafford situation? They're not allowing him, the Rams, not allowing him to seek a trade, but allowing him to...
I thought they were. That was reported. What happened?
They're allowing him to talk with other teams, basically just to see that the grass isn't always greener and that maybe he likes the relationship he's currently in is... what all things sound like here with the Matthew Stafford situation. Do you think he plays for the Rams, or do you think he plays elsewhere next year, Tausch?
Rams. This is all negotiation. I don't think... So what happens? The Rams have given him permission, which is always a whoa, to go and dabble. Who's going to give him $50 million a year? And a lot of teams would love to have a Stafford like if they feel ready to rock and roll. But the Rams want to get him for probably $35 to $40 million a year. That's what I think will end up happening. They'll come back. They'll say, well, because does Matthew Stafford want to go to the Giants for $50 a year? Or would he rather stay with the Rams for $40?
Maybe he wants to go to the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah. Then the Vikings going to pay him $50 a year? They're not going to pay Sam, what's his face?
Darnold.
Bradford, I was going to say. Sam Darnold.
They're not going to pay 50. Sam Bradford either. They had him once, too.
So, this is all part of the deal. I don't know which team other than maybe Pittsburgh. But if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm already thinking, do I want him out in the cold, outside? He's got a big arm. Matthew Stafford, the fact that everybody wants Stafford, nobody wants Rodgers, is mind-boggling to me.
Wait, do we know that?
We'll find out. Public perception leads us to feel that way. Whether or not perception is reality, what I always tell you, Jim Huber used to always say, perception becomes reality. We'll see.
And the game room's closed.
It felt like it was pretty common knowledge that the Jets wanted Rodgers before he ended up announcing he planned to go there. Like,
fair.
Haven't heard any team even be leaked. Like, they might be interested
There's
in Aaron
actually
Rodgers.
Leakage the other way. We don't want him.
Pittsburgh's the closest thing, and that's just more speculation than it is like anybody saying anything.
True. True.
Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly!
So how badly, before we end Whoa, Nelly, without Tier 1...
Why, are we not getting to any of the geese deal? That's, like, okay, that's what I was hoping you were getting
to. Not much to share.
What happened? How bad was it?
Well, okay, so there were close to 40 teams, I want to say, in action at Trivia Night with Andy North benefiting the UW Carbone Cancer Center.
Great cause.
Great cause. Raises a ton of money every year. One of their best events that they do each and every year. It's a ton of fun to be part of it. I was part of Team Pepsi, as was Becca. A couple of her friends came with as well. So we had a nice table with our friends at Pepsi. Tier 1 Tyler was not in attendance. So the Golden Geese were not reunited, and it showed on the scoreboard. We didn't finish in the basement, but we didn't finish that far out of the basement. We finished fifth to last.
Who was it?
So Tyler is basically Elgton Jenkins. Like, you found out without there, you can't even really function as a team.
Who was Travis Glover?
There were definitely some voices. It might have been me, actually.
Luke Tenuta.
I played defense against our team accidentally a couple of times last night. Like, we had the right answer, and I said, "Nah, I think it's this," and they trusted me, and then I was wrong.
Ouch.
Now, there is a component of this charitable cause where there are celebrity guests walking around who have the answers and can give you clues or just straight up give you the answers if you make
Matt LaPay?
Matt LaPay was one of them, and I think there was some targeting last night.
He came after you?
Pops came to the Pepsi table more than once, and he knew we were going to be paying for an answer when he came around. So we paid for some answers and still ended up in fifth to last. So that shows
you. At least it went to a good cause.
That shows you where we were at last night, old Team Pepsi. Yeah.
Maybe you should be nicer to Tier 1 Tyler. And
Tier 1 Tyler should have showed up.
Yeah, I'm with Jesse on that. And again, I don't know now, if he was like 103 fever, I'll forgive him. But if he just had the sniffles, I'm sorry. He's got to get out there.
And we sent Tyler a Venmo request for him to help fund one of our celebrity guest clues.
How'd that go over?
I was sleeping, he sends at 6 this morning. Oh, I was sleeping. Right. I didn't see it.
Do you think you're a good friend? You can contemplate that as we wrap things up. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin Sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans, this is 100.5 ESPN.
Don't ever see you sober if I'm breathing. We'll get to a lot more of what Goody had to say today, tomorrow. Tausch? Yes or no? The tush push will be in the NFL in 2025.
Yes.
I think so, too. I don't think it's going anywhere. That's it for us today. Thanks to everyone who chimed in on their opinion on the tush push. We'll get to more pertinent issues that face the Green Bay Packers tomorrow. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.